formal bio or anything from Stephanie. I didn't ask her for one, but he likes those formal ones anyway. So I'll just give you a little bit of background about what I personally know about Stephanie, just to, you know, check off the little boxes. And then I'll tell you a little bit from my heart about Stephanie. So first of all, Stephanie is an Oklahoma girl through and through, living in a Texas world, but it's going well. And she and Steve met at what used to be Oklahoma Christian College like a few years ago. And they, I know you've heard them talk about their three kids, Micah, Mason, and McKenna. And they're a testament to Steve and Stephanie. You'll get to meet, like they've mentioned, Micah and Mason later today. They are amazing, not children anymore, young adults, who really, they're really, like I said, they're a testament to their family. They're awesome young people. They are respectful, kind. They love the Lord. There, you'll get to meet them later today. I only wish McKenna was here. But anyway, let me see. So that's pretty much just the technical part of it. We first met Steve and Stephanie in 2010. Steve was in charge of, I guess you call it lectureship, in Oklahoma City, and invited Joe out to speak. And that was the first time we met. And so we visited, but we really didn't get to visit. But in 2012, when Joe went out to speak at Legacy in Oklahoma, we immediately formed a bond. And that night, they invited us back to their house after camp, and we stayed up till 4 in the morning talking. 4 in the morning. And we really had to get back home, but we were just enjoying the time. Because if you spend any time with Steve and Stephanie, you know that they have a wealth of knowledge and wisdom to share with people. And you can share your heart, and they'll share theirs, and they have a lot of practical, it's biblical, definitely biblical, because everything about them is points you back to the Bible, but they have a wealth of just wisdom from the ministry that they've had and the life that they've led, and there's just not, I don't know, like I said, this is not necessarily a formal bio, but they are some of the truest, kindest, most just humble and real people you would ever meet. And when we were talking about what we wanted to do for splitting up the men's and ladies' class, it was pretty obvious that we needed to get Stephanie in here to share a little bit of her wisdom, because like Joe had said earlier, you know, behind Steve is Stephanie, and she's pretty amazing. And we are so thankful that she agreed to do this. She is a fantastic cook as well. I cannot leave that out. So if you ever have a chance, I'm just gonna invite people to come see you in Texas, and she'll cook for you, and you'll know what I'm talking about. But oh, and decorator, she can make a house like you walk into her house, you'll feel so comfy. I'm just gonna send everybody your way. but she's got many, many, many talents, and so I'm not gonna take up any more of her time. But she's an amazing Christian woman, and you'll be blessed to hear her, and you'll want to get to know her if you don't already. And we have some pretty funny stories too.
I love you. Wow, I don't know about you, but I want to meet Steve and Stephanie Miner. Thank you, Erin. That's too kind. Too kind. And I don't know if all of that's true. I really don't. I don't know if I'm just really cold or if I'm nervous. So just bear with me. And I want to brag a little bit about Legacy. And I have to tell you about how a legacy originated. But before I begin, I want to let you know that all of our families from Oklahoma, and they're not just from Oklahoma, but all the families that come to Legacy Oklahoma are cheering you on. They are so excited to have number two up and coming, and they're excited to have another option, and they're fans. So I'm well wishing from them to you. We've had so many comments and so much excitement from it. Hang on, let me put my glasses on or I can't see my notes. So, let me tell you how Legacy began. About 10 years ago, we had a strong desire, we still have a strong desire to strengthen families that we come into contact with. My husband's been in youth ministry and he's also been in ministry. And our children were young, and we were young, and we just found that a lot of families in our area were needing advice and someone to come along with them to learn about how to raise their children in the Lord and what to do about this situation, what to do about that situation. At the same time, we've been directing a church camp session in southwestern Oklahoma at Quartz Mountain. And we had been doing that about 7 years, and we noticed some things about the kids who would come for those sessions. They would come for a spiritually concentrated week of spiritual upliftment. They would get pumped up, and they would be ready to go home, only for their parents to say, well, that's nice, you know, and they wouldn't be on the same plane. They were watching from the sidelines their children being edified, all the while they weren't themselves. And so in a perfect world, why wouldn't we want to marry the two together and have a family camp, a church camp, for families where they could experience this together, where they could sing new songs together and learn new songs and listen to the same lessons and be convicted and to be in the same bunks together and go to the same devotionals together, all the things that we do at church camp. Why couldn't we do that? So at the time, the caretaker of QMCC asked Steve if he would direct a second session. And of course the answer is no, we're not gonna direct another church camp session, but what if we pitched this idea to him of having a family camp somehow? What if we did that? Well, he was all for it. And he actually helped us execute the first year of Legacy Family Camp in 2012. And we had another family that was helping us. And boy, I don't even really remember the first year, but I know it was a whirlwind. And I'm sure Aaron and Joe and Denise and Wesley are probably feeling the same way. So we started making the plans, and we took the bones of a regular church camp session and we made it fit for families. And so our schedule looks a lot like your schedule. They've probably adjusted theirs. What? It's basically identical, she said, okay? So what I didn't know until we got here that you were gonna be doing gatekeepers. Well, gatekeepers was one of the best things I think everybody really enjoyed. My father-in-law lives near the area, and he's such a wise man, and he took that on. And so what he did is he stood around the fire in the mornings early when it's still dark, and he just imparted wisdom to whoever would show up. And it's just grown and grown, and you know, you have tons of people around this fire just talking about life and what things are thrown at you. And so that's just a really neat thing we have. We also have classes and keynote speakers of all the ages together. And that's what we really wanted, intergenerational ages together, learning and loving in the same place. Also, the singing is outstanding at our Legacy Family Camp. And one of the special times that we have is a boys' time on Saturday morning. Are you guys doing the same thing? Saturday morning, we have all the boys line up on all the pews behind us, and you know, we're talking 50 boys. And if we have to sing Jesus Loves Me 10 times or 12 times or 50 times, we sing Jesus Loves Me 10 times because that's such a good training time for our boys. Activities include, we have rifle range. And what's this thing in Kentucky about pew pew versus bang bang? In Oklahoma, we do it right. We have rifle range, we have skeet shooting, we have archery, we have tomahawk throw, we have horseback riding, and believe it or not, we have mountains in Oklahoma. But you have to watch out for the rattlesnakes in Oklahoma. We also have organized sports. We have a couple that they have taken that on, and you know, dodgeball against the moms and the dads and the kids is really quite hysterical. Also, we have Skit and Talent Night, and we have nightly mountain devotionals. We have a natural amphitheater with big granite boulders that we go out to every night, and we can see the beauty of the stars. We can see shooting stars. We can see storms rolling in. Just makes it really special, and one of our men every night impart a devotional for families. But my favorite thing about family camp, and I'll quit talking and get into my lesson here, but my favorite thing about family camp is the friendship connections. I love it that my friends from Colorado can meet my friends from Texas and become lifelong friends forever. I love that. I can't tell you how much that means for my friends in Florida, because we have family coming from Florida, meet our friends from New Mexico and know that later on in life they're actually doing things together as families. That's just one of my favorite things. And we literally have seen strengthening and transformationing happening before our eyes, and friendships being made that will last lifetimes. And so we are so excited for you to have this in this area of the country so that you can experience the same things that we've experienced. And some of my favorite quotes from 2019, I just have to say this. For the past 8 years, as we're going through camp, Steve and I look at each other and we say, what are we doing? I don't know if we can do this again next year. It's just a lot of work. But when someone comes to you and tells you how much a lesson has meant to them or a friendship has meant to them, that will take you into another year. It just means the world to us. So here's some favorite quotes that I have from 2019. I've made my best friends at Legacy. Now, that seems like a general comment, but this comes from a girl who has a single mom who's come from the very beginning of Legacy Camp, all 8 years. And I strongly believe that her life would be different had she not been a part of Legacy. And I'm not bragging about that. I'm not saying that this is just because of us, but I'm just saying it has impacted her family in such a way that she probably wouldn't be where she is today and have the friendships that she has today that encouraged her to walk the walk if she hadn't come all 8 years. The second quote is, hashtag the most wonderful time of the year. And these kids, the kids of these families, they literally talk about it all year. We can't wait for a Legacy next year. Isn't that right, Michaela? Michaela was bummed that she couldn't come to ours. The third one was, a spiritual refresher we needed so badly. And here's another one. Closest thing to heaven, the beauty of God's creation, surrounded by families dedicated to leaving a legacy of faith that will last generations. Another one is, God sure knew what he was doing when he created the church. And then a mom came to me, and she hadn't been to Legacy yet, but last year was her first year. And she said, I knew this would be good for our family. And she had tears in her eyes, and she said, but I didn't know it would be therapy for our family. And so this is a very good thing, Denise and Aaron. You know it's a very good thing. And so Psalm 45:17 says, let me turn now. says, I will cause your name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore, nations will praise you forever. This is why we do Legacy Family Camp. So the people will come, experience the common bond amongst brethren, be convicted to change, and be strengthened by God's word so that his name would be remembered and praised in all generations forever and ever. Isn't that what you want? We all want the same thing. We all want to build a legacy of faith within our families. You wouldn't be here if it weren't the reason. And this camp is definitely one way that can encourage you to do that. Let's look at another passage of scripture. Let's look at Psalm 78, 1-8. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not saying anything profound here. I'm not giving you anything that hasn't already been said by my husband, but it's just different. It's just gonna be in a different way. So Psalm 78 is where our text is gonna be coming from. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, telling the generations to come the praises of the Lord, and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and may not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not set its heart aright and whose spirit was not faithful to God. The psalmist starts out by saying, give attention here. What I'm about to say to you is very important. I'm about to give you a life lesson here that your fathers have been obliged to pass down from generation to generation. Look in verse 4. It says, don't hide. What does that mean? Why would these people hide the good things of God from their children? Some versions say conceal. And how would we hide or conceal these things from our families? We know, like verses Deuteronomy 6, 6 through 9, that we're continually to teach the commands of the Lord. This is what it says. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on your doorposts of your house and on your gates. So how are we to hide these things from our children? And we also know from scriptures like Matthew 5, 14 through 16, that our works shouldn't be hidden, but shown to the people that they might glorify God by our works. It says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify God in heaven. Could it be that hiding means sometimes we just neglect to say anything at all? That we just don't take advantage of the daily opportunities before us? We mustn't fall into that thinking. That just because we take them to church, and I know Steve has said this before, just because we take them to church, that will be enough. It isn't enough. Sometimes people just don't get it, even though they're told. We've talked to multiple parents who took their kids to church, thinking that that's all they needed to do, not realizing that the children needed to be told often and shown of the Lord's strength and wonderful works, just like in Deuteronomy 6. When we sit, when we lie, when we walk, when we rise up, all day, taking advantage of every opportunity that we have. And when you get home, I want you to focus on your conversations. It will reveal your true heart. The matters of chief importance in our lives are the things that we talk about on a daily basis. Are we hiding the works of God from others with our conversation? The faithful Hebrew people were extremely successful at making religion an integral part of life. They used the context of daily life to teach about God. If you want the next generation to follow God, you must teach them to see God in all aspects of life, not just church related. We might know the information of the Bible, but sometimes we fail to give the application. And so here's some ways to do that. Take opportunities in nature to teach the awesomeness of this creation. Who's doing digging deep? Isn't this study the best thing we could do right here? Teaching your children about his glory within his creation? Boy, what opportunities. The Old Testament has a plethora of scriptures referring to God's creation. So does the New Testament. Find them and share them. Here's a few of those scriptures that I'm not going to read to you, but you can take home and look up later and kind of go through with your kids. John 1, 3. Job 12, 7 through 10. Job 37, 14 through 16. Psalm 95, 4 and 5. Psalm 19, 1. Psalm 104. And Psalm 105. There was a time that I looked up a website, and I think this was the website, provethebible.com. And it was a website with 101 scientific facts and foreknowledge that supported the Bible. It was just awesome. It was just faith building just reading these scriptures. Also, I'm sure Apologetics Press has tons of information. I like the verse in Colossians 1, 15 through 17. I'm going to read it to you. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. Wouldn't that be a wonderful verse just to sit and talk about with your children? Another thing is taking opportunities during struggles, or financial or spiritual, to see his goodness and faithfulness of God, how he sees us through those times and how he answers prayers and provides strength, even if it doesn't go our way. I remember a time that we did this when my dad passed away. It was about, this will be 14 years, but it seems just like yesterday. My dad had just retired. He had just turned 60 years old, and we had moved close by within an hour of them, and we were excited to get to spend a lot of time with him and for him to watch the kids grow. And we were actually preparing for Christmas. It was 3 days from Christmas, and it was also the day of his retirement party. So we were preparing our kids to go up and spend the evening with me and my mother, and I got a phone call that my dad had died that morning. And it wasn't something, it was a shock. And how do you, something that you don't understand yourself, explain that to your children? It's not something that's good. We couldn't see the good in it. But it was an opportunity for us to show our children that this was really scary, and this was really sad, and this was something that we hated. But God had a plan. And we wanted our kids to learn that at this moment in our time. So we got in the car and we drove as fast as we could, but we stopped alongside the road and we prayed with them. And we said, we don't understand this. We don't like it. We want Granddad to be here with us to watch you grow. But God is going to take care of us, and he's going to show us things that we've not seen before. And we have to look for those things. And so that was an opportunity for us in that time to teach our children right then the application of how to take death and apply it in a spiritual way. Also, we were in the same town, not far from my parents, and we were there for 7 years in ministry. And my middle child had no friends the entire time we lived there. It was his childhood. It was from 6th grade until 12th grade. And that was hard. And he struggled with that. But it gave us a lot of opportunities to pray with him and say, listen, God will provide those friendships when you need them. And we're going to pray about it until it happens. And now he's at Freed, and he is having the time of his life. And he knows that God took care of him during that time. He knows that God was working on his heart, preparing him for the right moment to have those friendships come into his life. So we need to take opportunities of struggle and share with our children and apply God's will and God's word and show them how we get through those times, and it makes a huge impact. We also need to take times of opportunity during prosperous times of our life. Times of blessings, to be thankful to God for providing those blessings. We need to relay scripture that praise him. There are times in our lives where we've had abundant blessings, and we can't forget to praise God for those times. job relocations. Boy, those are scary times. But you know what? Our children see and know that we're looking to God for those times, during those times, and that when we were relocated, you know, things were good, and they can see the blessings in it. Ephesians 5:20 says, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Gratitude is huge to teach your children. What happened to the people in Romans because they weren't grateful? They forsook God. It's a warning to us. I guess I could read that scripture to you. Romans 1:21. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking. We want to take every opportunity we can to help our children learn to be grateful to God, to us, to others, for all the blessings in our life, and that knowing where it all comes from. Another scripture is my favorite, Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and don't lean on your understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll make your path straight. We have to acknowledge God in every situation, and then he will guide our things. Our life. And the second thing that the psalmist says is don't forget. Don't forget that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God. We may forget appointments, we may forget dates, but we must not forget to teach the works of God. You know, in Bible times, they didn't have the written law readily available like we do. So I suppose you could say they had an excuse. I don't know. Today we have every resource available, imaginable, for us to remember, but it still isn't stopping us from forgetting. And all those resources are still not as sufficient as telling, as it coming from our mouth or passing it down to the next generation. You know, my father-in-law is so good at telling stories, no matter how many times he tells them. But my kids will sit and listen to him tell those stories over and over and over again. And it's always funny, or it's always interesting. There's just nothing that replaces us telling it from our lips down to our children. And so don't forget. The Israelites forgot the works of God, and they ended up adopting pagan religions of the day, and they fell into sin because their fathers failed to teach their children. Psalm 78:11, back to our scripture, the last part of the verse. Says, they forgot his works and the wonders that he had shown them. One of man's biggest problems is forgetting what God said or did. In the New Testament, Peter says it over and over again. I want you to put into remembrance these things. God knows we forget. You know, reading account after account of the Israelites may make you shake your head in disbelief at their forgetfulness. How could a nation who saw it with their own eyes forget the wondrous works of God? How could they see the Red Sea part? How could they see manna coming from above? How could they see water being provided? How could they see that their clothes didn't wear out or their shoes didn't wear out as they were wandering for 40 years? How could they see this and forget his wondrousness? Well, they really have the same problem that we do. In fact, there may be no difference between us and them at all. How many times have you heard a sermon that cut and convicted you, your heart to change, only to forget after a few days? I know I have. I've listened to sermons, multiple sermons, and had tears streaming down my face because I knew I needed to change. I knew what I needed to do, But then I walked away and we went to lunch and I forgot all about it. So we can't forget. That's why the psalmist says, don't forget, don't hide, don't forget, because he knows we do. Do a word search on the word forget. It's overwhelming how many times you see the phrase, do not forget. It's a real problem we have and we all need to work on. Let's look at Psalms 1:1-2. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Meditation. What is that? Well, I guess you could say one of the words or definitions would be to chew the cud. Who has cattle? Some people have. I don't have cattle, and I don't know how many stomachs a cow has. But I know four stomachs. But I know what a cow does. And a cow goes and they graze on the grass, and they eat the grass, and it goes down into their stomachs. And then later on, they spit it back up and they chew on it again. And that's what he means by meditate. He wants you to ingest that word. And he wants it to be down inside of you. And then when times get hard, when you have a tragedy, when you have a blessing, when you have whatever happens in your life, that needs to come back up and you need to chew on it again. So meditation is one way we can do that. Psalm 119. Verses 10-16. Says, with my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Remember how the Israelites crossed the Jordan River under the lead of Joshua? He told them to gather 12 stones from the fast-moving river to build a monument with those stones so that when their children and their grandchildren asked, what do these stones mean? They would not forget to tell them what God had done for them. Sadly, they do forget, and what happened to the Israelites stands as a warning for us today. In Judges 2:10-13, it says, when all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord, nor the work which he had done for Israel. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals, and they forsook the Lord God of their fathers who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. And they followed their gods from among the God of the people who were all around with them. And they bowed down to them, and they provoked the Lord to anger. They forsook the Lord and served Baal and the Asherites, all in one generation. It takes just one generation for us to hide, for us to forget, and then they turn away from God. We can't get too busy. And we can't get too distracted, and we can't get too lazy to pass on the wondrous works of the Lord. The consequences are grave. And so it's important for us to have that information and to give that application to our children in creative ways. And legacy is one great resource to utilize so that your family can be strengthened. You know, the Bible says, as iron sharpens iron, we need to be together. We need to surround our families with good people. I think one of the best things we can do for our children is to show them other families, especially other adults, who are living a vibrant faith other than just us. It makes a huge difference for my children to sit across from Eric Rucker or Joe Wells or Sean Donahoe, and I'm talking about all of our legacy friends, to sit across the table from them and to hear them talk about how God has blessed them or how God has brought them through this or that, and to hear their faith. It's huge. And so this is one way that you can utilize this camp to build friendships, lasting friendships, so that your children can be surrounded by that legacy, that faithful generation. Has anybody heard of the monument Crazy Horse? The Crazy Horse Monument? Last week, when we had a legacy, we had Corey Collins come and speak, and he used this illustration, and I thought, I need to use that illustration too to end my lesson. I've not been to South Dakota. That's where this monument is. But I just thought the illustration was profound. So Crazy Horse was a legendary warrior and the leader of the Lakota Sioux Indians. He was celebrated for his battle skills as well as his efforts to preserve the Native American traditions and way of life. Resisting efforts to force the Sioux onto the reservations, he fought alongside Sitting Bull and others in the American Indian Wars and was instrumental in the defeat of George Armstrong Custer's forces at the Battle of Little Bighorn. After surrendering to federal troops in 1877, he was killed amid rumors of a planned escape. So you have Crazy Horse, who's pretty legendary. And then you have his descendant of the Lakota Sioux Indians. His name was Korzak Zilkowski. Now, Korzak Zilkowski made it his mission in life to preserve the legacy and the name of Chief Crazy Horse. And so he decided he wanted to build a monument. And this monument is in South Dakota. And it's been under construction since 1948, and it still isn't finished. So when or if it's completed, it will be 10 times larger than Mount Rushmore. The Rushmore heads, 60 feet high, actually fit in, I think, the eye of Crazy Horse. So you can know the scale. So why so much effort? Well, he's just kind of, this Zilkowski man was born in 1908, and he was a descendant of the Lakota Indians. And so far, they have blasted away over 7.4 million tons of rocks. It's a 9-story granite face. It's 17 miles away from Rushmore, and all 4 Mount Rushmore faces could fit inside the head, not the eye, the head. It's 563 feet tall, but this Zilkowski man, he passed away at the age of 74 in 1982. But he left behind 3 notebooks of plans, and his widow Ruth and his 7 of their 10 grown children have continued to chase his dream. And so they're going to continue the construction of this image of Chief Crazy Horse. So what is the point of all this? He has left a legacy within his children to continue on the memory of Chief Crazy Horse and what he did for the Lakota Sioux. But just like us, what are we willing to do to leave the image of Christ within our family for generations to come? And how much rock will we need to blast away in order to create that image of Christ within the lives of our children? And how many years will it take to continue that legacy on for generations and generations? So think about that. Have you made it your mission to leave a legacy of faith in your children? To do what it takes? To leave 3 notebooks of plans so that that the image of Christ will be remembered forever? It's just kind of a neat thought. But I encourage you today to utilize this camp from years from now, and I hope it continues forever and forever, this legacy camp, just like ours. to encourage, to teach your children, to train your children. And I appreciate so much you letting me come and talk. It's not something I do regularly. It's not something I really enjoy doing. But I have a love and a passion for what we're doing. And I know it works, and I've seen it transform lives. I'm going to say, do you want me to say a prayer? Do you have an announcement? Okay, I'm going to pray, and then Aaron will have some announcements. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time. Thank you so much for providing the opportunity to have this special camp, and I pray so many blessings on it in the years to come. I pray for strengthening. I pray for encouragement. I pray for edification for all the families who attend in some small way that it may boost them to do and to continue your legacy on for generation after generation. Lord, we love you, and we know that our lives need to be surrounded by you and that we need to glorify you in everything that we do. And our lights need to burn so much brighter that this world is so dark. Thank you, God, for allowing us to meet new friends and to join lives together, all because of you. We thank you so much for loving us, for sending your son to die for us, and we appreciate that so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much, Stephanie. And I definitely echo what she says. I hope this camp continues for a long, long time, and not just because so we can say we had a successful camp, but like Stephanie showed us from the scriptures and from those great applications that we can leave a legacy for our children, and also not for the sake of leaving a legacy because their eternal destination depends on it. And you did a wonderful job. And I don't know about you, ladies. She was saying that this is, in her words, pretty much summarizing, not her forte. But I can say, A, number one, that you did a fantastic job. And B, I don't know about you, ladies, but for me, if that's not their, what they feel is their talent, per se, if they're speaking God's word from the heart and they're passionate about their subject and it all goes back to God, that's what's important. And I learn a lot from it. And I know that y'all learned a lot this morning from Stephanie. Just a couple quick things, because we have lunch coming up here in a little bit. Mitzi, do you want to come up and tell a little bit about what you're doing? Or nothing like putting you on the spot. Okay, Mitzi's helping out with a couple. This is Mitzi over here, if you don't know her. She's helping out with a few additional fun/service project things that we are doing. We're going to be rolling out a banner. Yeah, she can go to the back where all the stuff is, and she can be Vanna White, and I'll try and explain her stuff. We are going to have a couple banners on that back table that are rolled out. It's going to be on that back table, right, Mitzi? Okay, right there. These are for as you or your children are passing by, maybe through the line or just have a few extra minutes to go. Sign your name, draw a little image, a note of encouragement. We're going to have two banners that we're going to send. Most of you know about little Ruby, who's 2 years old, who's fighting cancer. Her dad preaches in Illinois. And if you're not following along with that, A, please pray for their family. But B, her dad always posts biblical thoughts at the end of what's going on in their life. And it's amazing to me, the faith that they have and what they're going through. They have 8 children. And Ruby's not the youngest, but she is battling a very kind of aggressive cancer. So, like I said, so drawing right to them, we'll send that to them. The other one is, some of you probably know, and we have some friends who are in Alabama. They used to live in Middle Tennessee, the Crumleys, and their 20-year-old son was hit in his motorcycle. Another car hit him recently, and he did have his helmet on, but it flew off when he was hit, and he took the brunt of the injury to his head. So he was recently transferred to Shepherd, which deals with those kind of injuries in Atlanta. In fact, during the lesson, his mom sent me a picture of him. But he's looking good, but it's still sad to see kind of the state that he's in right now. He's got a long ways to go, and so we're hopeful there. But we're going to also do a banner for their family to send to them as well. So be praying for these families as well as the banner. in addition to the banners, we have these. Mitzi knows, this is Mitzi's thing, so she knows more about it. So, demonstration.
If it's a bigger pouch, you can put in four, and if we run out of rice, we'll get more rice. So help your kids do this. Let them put the rice in. There are blunted needles. I'm not, they're still needles, ladies, but they are blunted needles. Needles and thread will be with these. Help your kids just stitch up this other side, okay? We have 42, I think we have 42 pouches ready to go. So the idea is, and most of you have done that before with rice or corn in a bag, and then you put it in the microwave, and it's a little heat pouch. It can be especially good for older people at this time of year with winter coming up. They have some aches and pains, they can stick it in their microwave. Minute or two, and then it'll stay warm for a while. That's why we're calling them heart warmers. And help your kid with it. Take it home. Let your kids write a note to this person that you think of, and then carry it to them. Maybe it's a widow at church, or maybe it's a neighbor that you know of that you could make an influence on. Put a scripture with it on their card, thinking about you. It's nothing big, but it's just a way to get our kids thinking about others and about serving others and looking for others that need the encouragement.
Yeah, that's what I'm about to say. Okay. All right. Last but not least, another thing that she's brought. We were gonna call it our legacy banner because we thought legacy garland might be a little too girly for the guys. But we are gonna hang that up today. Goals for yourself or your family. I really like that. I like goals for yourself or your family. Attach it on there, and it would be really neat if we could all fill it up and have this big legacy banner. You know, you don't have to share like private goals in your heart, but if you have a goal that, you know,